Tune in for an exclusive and permanent deal just for you. Get ready to immerse yourself in nature with an ongoing offer of 20% off all Strawberry Cough feminized cannabis seeds, exclusively designed for our valued podcast listeners. When you head over to homegrowncannabisco.com and use code COUGH20 at checkout, that's COUGH20. It's time to embrace the power of nature and embark on a growing experience like no other. In today's episode, I'm absolutely thrilled to sit down with Julie Chiarello, the brilliant editor of Skunk Magazine. Julie and I have been navigating this fast-paced world of cannabis together for years, witnessing firsthand the incredible evolution of cannabis journalism. Our conversation today is going to delve deep into that evolution, exploring the challenges, the milestones, and the groundbreaking work that has propelled our community forward in such dynamic ways. Together, Julie and I will share insights into how cannabis journalism has adapted and thrived in a rapidly changing landscape, shedding light on the stories and voices that have defined an era. Expect a journey filled with intriguing anecdotes, reflections on pivotal moments, and forward-looking thoughts on where we're headed next in this evergreen narrative. So settle in, maybe roll one up if you're so inclined, and join Julie and me for a deep dive into the past, present, and future of cannabis journalism. You're in for an enlightening session here at Grow Weed at Home with Kyle Cushman. Don't miss it. Look who we've got here. Welcome to the very first podcast of Grow Weed at Home, Barcelona.
Yes, vamos.
Yes. I'm jealous of your accent. Speak some more.
Bueno, tengo feliz que estamos aquí junto en Barcelona.
Welcome, Julie Chiarello. And so how has your trip been so far?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. I was, you know, telling you a moment ago that my family is from Catalan. My grandmother is a Catalana. She spoke French, Spanish, and Catalan in the home. And I was raised with the food of Spain, and just it was a part of my upbringing. So always when I come to Spain, it's like coming home. And I used in Barcelona. I used to live in Andalusia. And yeah, I would love to live here again, actually, Kyle. So I just always feel, and Barcelona really is my favorite city in the world. Absolutely. So the trip was great.
The trip wasn't so good, but the city is absolutely fabulous. We had our first meal last night, of course, with a big plate of jamón.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. We call it prosciutto, but they don't use that word here.
No.
I was told.
Yeah.
And so we're having a good time. So we're here, of course, because of the International Cannabis Awards. Well, we're here at Choco Lounge, which is a private club, a private really smoking nice. Club. And we're here to represent the International Cannabis Awards. Mm-hmm. And of course, also Spanibus is happening.
Yep.
So there's about a million cannabis enthusiasts in town. Maybe not quite that many, but it seems like it. And I feel so oddly relaxed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should. Well, and it's la manera de vida. That's the way of life.
It is.
It's definitely, you know, more savoring life's simple pleasures and slowing down together. That's what I really like about the lifestyle here, as opposed to in the States. It's always just pushing hard. So you should feel relaxed.
I don't know how to simplify it. I can't simplify it. If I was going to start to describe the difference of either how I feel or why I think it is, I need at least 5 minutes. I'm not even going to bother.
Well,
but
yeah.
So what brings us here, I think, is, there's plenty of reasons I could have you on the show. But I really think that we have a commonality in the journalistic arena. I fell into it because of my weed. I'm sure it wasn't quite that simple for you. But nonetheless, for those of you who don't know, Julie is, are you the
owner
editor
and editor-in-chief?
Editor-in-chief of Skunk Magazine. And, Skunk Magazine has been around for how long now?
18 years.
18 years, a long time. I'm sure everybody out there watching has seen an issue of Skunk Magazine.
Yeah.
And,
I've been co-owner for 12 years.
Tell us just a little bit about your, a quick intro about your journey.
with Skunk Magazine?
It's been an immense one. I'd say that it's in two parts because I first came into cannabis use when I was 15 years old. I was a dancer, classically trained ballerina. And when I first imbibed cannabis, it was definitely opening of my consciousness. It was healing of my body. And it set me on a path towards the plants and study of plants and herbal medicines. And so I became a certified herbalist in my early 20s and been a certified herbalist for 26 years. And that was really my pathway in. And then I worked in the health and wellness industries, yoga, organic textiles, organic farming, and really was into the idea of sacred commerce, conscious consumerism. And then 18 years ago, I got into the cannabis space. I took a vaporizer company global, Magic Flight, little wooden vaporizer, and made tens of millions of dollars for that company. I really learned in depth the global industry, the global marketplace. I had master distributors placed strategically. I worked very heavily in Europe. I've been to 15 Spanibus. I always was in love with coming to Spanibus. You know, it was something important to me. And that's how I met one of the owners at Skunk and then eventually met the other owner at Treating Yourself in Canada, because Canada was a big market at the time as well for me. And, you know, started writing for Skunk Magazine. They covered the vaporizer and became friends with the owners. And at that time, that was when the court case came down for seed importation and seed trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
And they really needed a hand. And I was really ready to leave Magic Flight. So I negotiated for ownership and committed to coming in and helping to protect the magazine, modernize it, and bring it into a new era. And that started 12 years ago. And then since that time, I've bought Skunk from the previous owner, the final one, and moved the magazine from Quebec, where it was founded, to California. I'm a native Californian. So that's how this all happened. And I've always been a writer, a poet. I was raised as an activist. I'm first generation Cuban immigrant, but we settled in California because my grandmother was European and she was actually born in Jersey and moved to Europe when she was not even one and was in southern France and northern Spain until she was 15. Then her father was Cuban, and so if they wanted to move to Cuba, they knew that World War II was coming and they wanted to be over there. And so she stayed there until Castro came to power, and that's where she met my grandfather. But my grandfather raised me on Howard Zinn, Noam Chomsky. He raised me as an activist. And so I think that, you know, all of those worlds came together when I negotiated for ownership. It was all perfect. And I have other things that, you know, I don't want to bend your ear, but why I think I was brought into this and what kind of qualities that I've nourished in my life up until that point, that as I entered, then it became a really activated discussion that I was having with the community through the magazine.
I think from the limited experience that I did the journalism thing for a good 5 years. I was a staff journalist for 5 years.
Yeah.
And I became quite aware, like I told you before we went on camera, I had my first panic attack.
Yeah.
Over a deadline. I'm stuttering already just thinking about it.
Yeah, the pressure.
And you know, there's no doubt that not only your passion for writing and things like that was really important, you know, and starting as a writer, it's like, you know, working your way up. You can't own a restaurant until you've done some other things.
Right.
No doubt that is really helping you on a really practical day-to-day because... it was constant conflict at high times on how to move the magazine forward. And but the thing that's interesting to me that I want to kind of get out of you is how doing cannabis journalism has really changed over the last, well, for me. So you've been running Skunk for 12 years, but before that you weren't living under a rock. You know, in the last 20 years since I was working 25 years since I worked for High Times, What would you say is, other than the obvious, the legalization, and you can get more sponsors, you know, how do you go about putting together a magazine or keeping it together?
Well, for me, you know, when I first got inspired by Skunk, what deeply inspired me was that it was the only cannabis magazine globally that was devoted to organic cultivation practices. And it had a very heavy focus on genetics. Like, Skunk's backbone is to teach people to grow fire weed with fire genetics organically. That's what I always say. That's our backbone.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that it was an organic-centric magazine.
Yes, yeah.
Why did I not know that?
Well, the Rev, our cultivation editor, it actually was by happenstance because the former owners didn't really care, per se, about organics. But it was the Rev, our cultivation editor, this entire time that had that focus.
So is it just because I haven't not read it recently? I don't read that much. It's not because I haven't read your magazine. I don't read for entertainment. But if I was to read, would that come through immediately?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. 100%. Not sure. But is it?
I'm giving
you a company. Is it a company ethos that would come through, or would it just come through that you are organic centric?
Yeah. No, I'm gonna get into that. So what I did when I took over creatively is I took the purest parts of the magazine and I then evolved every other aspect. You know, being a certified herbalist, there's an herbal column every issue. There's consciousness talk. There's talk of psychedelics, entheogens, holistic health, and also business. I'm a woman of business of 26 years. And so for me, when I create from a place of listening. I am guided from within. I don't look outwardly. And I've often said, Kyle, that we're not just covering culture, we're creating culture. We're culture makers.
But you can never separate the business from the culture of the magazine.
It all goes together.
And that's talent.
The guiding ethos for Skunk is exactly that. It's the Green Renaissance. So on every cover, you'll see the term the Green Renaissance. I'm actually writing a book about it. And it's something that I had been pondering for decades. Given how I was raised as a global citizen. I was raised on art, music, and culture. My great-grandfather was
very lucky.
Surrealist painter, you know, painter.
I was raised on Long Island. Not a lot of culture in Long Island.
Yeah. So I was raised by kind of counterculture people and people who were thought leaders or visionary in their nature. And so that really spoke to me. And so what I saw was that we were in a second renaissance. I really saw that there were parallels from the last renaissance in this one. Mm-hmm. And that we could draw those parallels, and that cannabis and other herbal allies really were inherent to this next step for humanity. And really what I say, I've said it for decades, is that Mother Earth was propagating consciousness with her plants in order to help us evolve how we do business and how we work with our earthly resources and how we work within our communities. Structurally, society is changing. Literally, this first quarter of this year, 2024, is the literal beginning of the Aquarian Age that the hippies sang about. Mm-hmm. And for me, when I think about
the
counterculture rebels through time, like the beats.
How often does that beginning of that age come about? Has it happened before?
No, this is it. This is the beginning of the Aquarian Age. They sung of it as if it were there.
That's why I'm asking.
No, and it's, you know, I've studied theology. I'm an esoteric. So in my time before getting into cannabis, I was studying a lot of sacred theologies, sacred texts. And when you look at, you know, it's the end of the Kali Yuga, the beginning of the Golden Age, in Sanskrit and Indian cultures, at Toltecs and the Mixtecas, the Mayans, they all had, you know, this was a time. And then the Aquarian Age. So there's a lot of threads of this kind of reality of a new energy coming onto the planet.
I had no idea you were so crunchy, Julie.
Well, yeah.
I mean that just as hippie.
Yeah.
You know, I don't mean that as a derogatory.
I'm a total hippie.
That's what they call in California, crunchy,
right? I said that I was a hippie for sure.
I had no idea.
After Woodstock.
I mean, I knew we were all, but not.
But the people that inspire me are the counterculture rebels through time. So with the Renaissance, I postulate that it's 125 years in, that it began with the French salons and Gertrude Stein and Alice B. Toklas, and into the Surrealists, the Dadaists, the Beats, the Blues, the Jazz movements. I play the blues harmonica, so I was very much keyed in with the African diaspora, and studied, I'm a classically trained dancer, as I said, but I studied Afro-Cuban, I studied Congolese dance, and just saw the commonality in the thread. And for me, coming into Skunk, I realized that, you know, I'd been already devoted to organic cultivation practices because I knew that cotton was the most heavily pesticided crop in the world. I knew that business needed to change. And I, you know, I saw that the thread that we're inspired by others, like Tom Forsaad, we were talking earlier. Tom Forsaad, to me, was a counterculture rebel, a visionary, and I have deep respect for him. And oftentimes when I think about Skunk, I'm informed from within by the people who've inspired me over the centuries of those thought leaders. And I think of things in terms of longer periods of time, Kyle. So for me, it's like Skunk is 20 years devoted to organic cultivation practices. I'm in it for another 20 years of helping organics become the norm rather than the exception. And social justice, environmental justice, and economic justice for all. So I do representation of the Black, Latino, Native, Asian, LGBTQ, and disabled community alongside the, you know, 81% white male owned and ran industry. I really feel that, as I said, we're creating culture. So there's a responsibility to create an improved culture and an improved narrative, and that's my devotion.
You know, the question before you started speaking was, what is the difference between how you put together a magazine? And for those of you, for those of you listening, the question was, what's the difference? Because we have this commonality, High Times, Skunk, journalist, right. You know, I've worked with managing editors, the whole deal. I asked this question, which seemed incidental as you started talking to me. Like, what is the difference between how you put a magazine together now? It's not, you know, but you know what? You answered that question. And I want to point it out to the people that are watching and listening. I don't know if you realize that you answered the question, because what you verbalized to me is the way that you put together this magazine, as opposed to the way High Times put the magazine together, or whatever you felt that you described it. Do you understand that you actually answered the question?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I see. But I'm pointing that out because if you come in the middle of that,
yeah,
it doesn't sound like it's a pointed answer, okay? But you actually describe, the way you do that is because, if I may synopsize, is that it's part of your being, for one thing.
100%.
And so...
I'm an esoteric.
I have to ask you, I didn't know that there was such a thing as an esoteric, but... It's part of your being, and so all of your experience in life, which later led to your passions, are all wrapped up in this magazine, and that's how you do it. It's not that you have a skill to be a production manager, or that you've figured out how to wrangle a staff. But you see, what I'm trying to point out is that my silly question, I thought was going to elicit that silly answer.
Right.
Oh, you know, you got to have good people. It's tough. The writers, they need certain kind of respect. They're babies. They're all and I didn't get that. What I got was a very substantial answer that, it means a lot to me because...
That's how I deal with it.
Because the only reason that I ever... See, when I took a job at High Times, it quickly became a responsibility.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't know that.
Well, this is a huge responsibility.
I did not know that I was taking on responsibility, you understand? Yeah. I thought I was getting an opportunity at a really cool job, and then I thought that I could do it and make something of it. But I quickly realized that it was this responsibility to now be an advocate, to speak out for legalization, to speak out for normalization, to represent some kind of example,
right?
All these things that came afterwards for me. And what you described to me is that you kind of brought all that with you.
100%. But I do that in everything.
That brings something that I'm wanting to mention to everybody listening. That brings an authenticity and a genuineness to the magazine that like I admitted that I'm not a reader. I'm just not a reader. for entertainment. I can read an educational text. If I need to learn right. something, I can read it. And
you're a doer.
So I'm just making this point for people that maybe read a lot and don't read Skunk, or they don't read a lot and they because things don't mean enough to them to put their time into it. So I'm getting the feeling that there's, I know a lot of the people that you
well,
work
I do
with.
Multifaceted engagement though as well. But just to get back to what you were saying is there's a balance to what it is that I'm doing where without fail, I have to produce the magazine. There's a lot of intensity, a lot of pressure. But the way
that's
that
the integration of the business time. What I'm
is the passion and the drive from within that really is not touched by circumstance. And in fact, no matter what happens, that strength, that energy, that's what is the engine that's running this whole thing. And there is no compartmentalization. It's not. It's
all
transcendent of any kind of job per se.
I get that.
I have to get the job done.
How would I have known that? How would anybody have known that if I hadn't asked?
Yeah.
So it turned out to be a really good question. It was so funny because I asked you the question, you started answering. I thought, wow, that must have been a really incidental because she's and but it was it really. Thank you for in a couple of minutes really really sharing your whole passion.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lifelong passion that I can tell without sitting with you for an hour for what you do now just on a regular basis, you know? And so, because I feel that too, you know? I have a little trouble these days finding as much passion as I used to in the things that I once did, even just the daily growing, you know, just getting older.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem to take as much effort to grow, so I don't put as much effort into it, you know? But I know that that magazine still takes every much as a bit effort as it did the first day you took the reins.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's commendable because you're running not just a business ship, you're running a something that you're trying to improve and advance the culture with.
And it's a six-person company that puts out this high-level magazine. So it's a huge amount of work. Absolutely. It's a beast. But It's a passion that, for me, it's about Mother Earth. It's about humanity. It's about, again, over time, improving the narrative and helping more and more people to become healed and empowered. What I was saying earlier is that really the thing of cannabis and hemp being here is for people to become earth connected again and connected to the plants again. If you go back, one of the first things I learned in herb school was Rockefeller and the harm that he did going after the apothecary and the apothecarist and that campaign of pushing pills. And now look, Americans are some of the sickest people in the world because they have been disconnected from the plants. And so part of what I'm doing is, yeah, we're teaching people to grow fireweed with fire genetics, but under that, we're seeding consciousness and know that many more millions of people around the world are gonna get off of pharmaceuticals. They're going to access their own healing. The second thing I learned in herb school is that we're self-healing. If you create the
self-sufficiency
environment for your body to heal itself, it will heal itself. And that's what we've learned with full spectrum oil and other things that can be so extremely helpful to people of all different backgrounds and types and ages. So I know that that's the deeper reason of what we're doing, what we're doing. And yes, at the end of the day, it's a business and it has to be successful. And we have to get creative on how we do that. But also, I do it in a multifaceted way. We have a audience online, social. It's not just the print magazine, but I will always produce the print magazine.
So we've that's a nice little chat on the ethical side, the passionate side. You know, there's the stuff that means a lot to both of us.
Yeah.
Well, tell me a little bit about the fun side. You know, I mean, it brings you to Barcelona. What other events are you looking forward to sponsoring or being associated with? Or, you know, tell us something about the fun side of making a marijuana magazine.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm a hash head and I'm a head.
Are you?
Yeah. I mean, I lived in Spain when I was 20, and that was when I tasted my first chocolate. The traditional hash from Morocco, and have been a hash head ever since. And, you know, for me, the fun part is the creation of and the cultivation and the nurturing of the community. Skunk covers all the top hash events in the world, from Dabadoo to Masters of Rosin to Ego Clash to, you know, This Smoking Jacket and many others. And then the top social clubs. We don't work with everybody. We're not interested in working with everybody. We choose carefully who we want to work with and highlight. But once we bring people in, then we are storytelling throughout the year on behalf of these partners. So, and we're keying in with, you know, print storytelling, online, social media, and just engagement of covering the culture in a way that is meaningful, has substance, is inspiring. So my favorite thing is just to be here with the community and to be connected. That's what really helps us all thrive, is our connection, our synergies, and our collaborations. I was telling another friend at a social club yesterday that for me in cannabis, those brands that are going to survive the treacherous landscape of legalization and overtaxation and overregulation are those that are global educators, yeah, and also the collaboration. The collaboration right now is protecting many brands. It creates interest in the marketplace. People get engaged. It's exciting. And it's new. It's fresh because you have all these different pairings and these different relationships. So those two things are definitely what Skunk is in alignment with as well, and how I'm protecting the magazine through monetization with those types of projects to so that we can protect the mission of continuing the education.
No, that's extremely smart. Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you.
I was going to get you those five news all around Drabo. So, yeah, Nival.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Okay. Damn, I lost my thought. What were the last words you said?
I was talking about the fun and the top social clubs that I, you know, have.
Damn, I had a great segue. Damn. I wanted to ask. Damn it, I had one closing thing I wanted to ask. Try me again. Say what you were saying. Well, but do you remember exactly what you said? It'll trigger. Mm-mm. Damn, we don't, do we? You came in at a bad time.
Paraphrase, but
we'd have to come up with another outro.
Basically, you know, what I'm doing with monetization. So what's exciting about this show is I'm actually posted up at Mila Hash Queen's booth. Mm-hmm. We're doing a soft launch of our seed program. So I'm launching Skunk Genetics. In the States, I'm going to begin selling seeds with the subscription. And I have different seed projects and collaborations. We're bringing nostalgic flavors back. Mm-hmm. I do believe also that's going to be ruling within the genetics world for the next, you know, 5 to 7 years. We're going to see a lot of nostalgic flavors come back right now. And we ourselves are working with Purple Caper Seeds. And we're bringing 5 properly inbred skunk crosses back with our good friend Luna all day, and we're going to be producing seeds and doing this for many years to come, along with licensing deals. We just sold 30 pounds of chocolate skunk into the California market with Sonoma Hill Farms. It was a great success. It sold out in a few weeks time, and super tasty, super heady, super amazing. And that's what we're going to be doing, Kyle. And so I'm very excited because we have different discussions going on here as well, and very connected with the social club network, have our top, you know, our favorite social clubs that we go to. So yeah, heading to the Dabadoo today.
Yeah, there's so many things going on, and I've been really glad to enlighten everybody. And I suggest you go pick up a Skunk magazine, an issue of Skunk magazine, yeah. And keeping the culture alive. And I'm really happy for you, and I wish you a lot of success in the future. And thank you for coming on our premiere episode in Barcelona.
Thank you, Kyle, for having me. Many blessings on your show. It's such a honor. Yeah, so be sure to check us out, skunkmagazine.com or Skunk Magazine on IG and Facebook. And you can also find me, Julie Chiarello. So feel free, reach out, follow us, and enjoy.
thank you so much for joining us, Julie, in Barcelona for the International Cannabis Awards.
Muchísimas gracias.
Yes. Well, there you have it. Another great episode with Julie Chiarello from Skunk Magazine. You know, cannabis cultivation and cannabis literature are forever intertwined, and they're both art forms of and into themselves. Julie was very insightful, and boy, the time we spent together in Barcelona was magnificent. The food, the sights, the sounds, the incredible organic cannabis is amazing, and I just can't wait to go back. We'll see you again soon. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Grow Weed at Home. Quah! Are you ready to take your cannabis cultivation game to the next level? Well, hold on to your buds, because we have an amazing offer just for you. Are you familiar with Strawberry Cough? This legendary strain has delighted cannabis enthusiasts worldwide with its mouthwatering flavor and uplifting effects. Lineage? Sure, let's dive into it. Strawberry Cough is a delicious cross between Strawberry Fields and Haze. Its distinct strawberry aroma and sweet taste make it a favorite among connoisseurs. Now, here's the exciting news. We're offering a fantastic deal on Strawberry Cough feminized cannabis seeds. You'll receive 20% off your purchase on any pack size of these seeds when you use code COUGH20. That's COUGH20. That's COUGH20 at homegrowncannabisco.com. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity to grow your own Strawberry Cough. Whether you're a seasoned cultivator or a newbie looking to explore the world of marijuana horticulture, these feminized seeds will set you on the path to aromatic success. Visit homegrowncannabisco.com today and select from their wide range of premium cannabis seeds, and maybe take advantage of 20% off your Strawberry Cough seeds when using code COUGH20. Happy growing, folks! Get ready to savor the tantalizing flavors and uplifting effects of Strawberry Cough, a strain that deserves a spot in every cannabis enthusiast's garden. Check out homegrowncannabisco.com now and seize this offer before it's gone.